Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Jimmy Fallon said Omicron sounds like a transformer who can't smell or taste. Kimmel, experts are hoping it ends up being like the second season of Tiger King, where everybody talks about it, but nobody actually experiences it. Kimmel, trying to guess where it'll strike next is fun. It's like, where in the world is COVID San Diego? Love it, Fallon. Yeah, we need another variant like we need another turkey sandwich for lunch, Fallon. But the White House said it would take 2 weeks to have definitive data on the new strain. That's right, even our COVID information has shipping delays. Unbelievable. The Washington Post did a lengthy profile of Lorne Michaels. You know Lorne from such shows as Saturday Night Live. It's 11:15. Co-head writer Michael Chase, warming up the audience, name-checking host Jason Sudeikis, a former cast member, and musical guest Brandi Carlile, and remarking, this is a pretty white show. At 13 minutes of showtime, Kenan Thompson, who's been on SNL since the first term of the second Bush, is on stage singing Gimme Some Lovin'. And Studio 8H seems to feel like a time warp, strapped to the past, but always barreling towards the future, at least 11:30. At 11:23, the Oval Office materializes in a swish of curtains. At 11:28, Lorne Michaels in a blue suit and a red tie shakes the hand of cast members as they take their positions for the cold open. When a crew member calls 30 seconds, the audience of 321 people is silent. With 15 seconds to airtime, Lorne gives a final muttered instruction to rookie cast member James Austin Johnson, who's playing President Biden. That instruction, take your time with the lines. Get around the desk as fast as possible. Face forward, not to Jason. Lorne starts to talk about the show, saying, you're in the moment. Is the show working? He's worried about timing and pacing, what you cut, whom you center, when you intervene, when you don't. I think this is as important as anything else or any other art form. I don't want to see it go down. That's important. On the other hand, 50 years for a TV show? And then he drifts off. SNL has been on the air for more than 46 years, longer than any late night or comedy program in American history, except for The Tonight Show. Lorne prizes truth tellers, especially in moments of national unease or confusion. So he talks about two particular comedians he showcased to America 41 years apart at times when he believed America should hear from them. The first is Richard Pryor, who Lorne crusaded to have host the show back in 1975, despite resistance from nervous NBC executives. They said I couldn't have him. And I said, I can't do a contemporary comedy show without him because he's the funniest person working today. He was remarkable. It was sort of what I thought was needed, and I think I was right. The second was Dave Chappelle. Lorne says, we're a comedy show. We can influence, but we don't determine. Could the show work without Lorne? The Washington Post says, you could argue it has. In 1980, Lorne Michaels left the show for 5 years to explore other producing opportunities. Is Lorne Michaels replaceable? Conan O'Brien says, I personally do not think so. Kenan Thompson, I don't think so. He points out the level of people who will take his call. He's built himself up in the world to be respected. Molly Shannon said, in my opinion, the show is Lorne, and Lorne is the show, and nobody could ever replace him. As for Lorne, he says, my plan as of now is to see it through the 50th anniversary, because that's a show anybody's going to want to see, including me. The Laugh Button caught up with Mel Brooks. He's still looking for the ultimate joke, Mel Brooks said, something that's very important to comedy writers, information. It won't explode into a comedy moment unless the audience is armed with a bunch of information. With valleys of information, there are no peaks of comedy, and I set it up with plenty of information. I throw 20 jokes out hoping to get a laugh with two or three of them. That's one of comedy's not-so-well-kept secrets, never giving up. If a joke doesn't work, try again on the next one. Maybe you'll have better luck. Mel Brooks talked about his new autobiography, and he said, the trouble was, I had too much of it. I mean, I'm 95. I had to be very choosing and remembering stuff that was not only interesting but entertaining and still stick to the story of my life. So it wasn't easy, but I just picked out the things that I enjoyed doing in my life. Chronologically, I went from being a little boy in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, to a soldier in World War II, to Broadway, to being an assistant, to a devilish wonderful man who taught me everything right and wrong about Broadway, to finally being a movie maker. And eventually getting back to Broadway, my first love. So a lot of adventure. Things I hadn't thought of for literally 50 or 60 years, completely forgotten. For instance, as a 19-year-old soldier, going to the mess hall dining room and looking at something being on my plate and asking, what was that? And the soldier next to me said, that's called S on a shingle. What are you talking about? Turns out it's cream beef on toast, but it does look like S on a shingle. Mel Brooks discussed rhythm being an integral part of doing comedy. He said, absolutely. The thing is, when you write your own material, it resonates. It's always true. You're not Henry Youngman doing jokes like, my wife says you never take me anywhere, I never go anywhere, you never show me anything new, so I took her to the kitchen. Good jokes, but one-liners that had no soul or heart, just jokes. It's Sunday, so there's a new episode of the Weekly Comedy Thing. You know, you can't get comedy bits anywhere on the internet these days, you know? But you can on the Live by Live app. That's right. I host a show called The Weekly Comedy Thing. And say I did a story about Bill Engvall. At the end of the story about Bill Engvall, I would play a bit by Bill Engvall. So if you want to hear me talk about Bill Engvall and then play Bill Engvall comedy, head on over to the Live by Live app, and the show is called The Weekly Comedy Thing. The app's free, the show's free, and I talk a lot less. More comedians, less me. How could you not like that? Now, since you haven't taken up my advice, now you just get to hear a story about Bill Engvall, but I'm not going to play any Bill Engvall comedy. From TheLedger.com, Bill Engvall says, I've been on the road for 42 years. It's been a great, great journey. I've enjoyed every minute of it. I always said I wanted to go out on my terms, and there's stuff going on in my life right now that's all good. It's just one of those things. You just know when it's time. I don't want to be one of those acts where you say, oh, he should have stopped long ago. For his 75 to 90 minute show, he said he'll pull out his greatest hits along with new material. Bill said, I do shows like a band. I don't play all new stuff. People want to hear the classics. I pick up old bits for those who never saw them. It's nothing too edgy. I haven't had to adjust anything. I want it all relatable, as we all experience a lot of the same stuff. Bill said his influences are Bob Newhart, Steve Martin, and George Carlin. And his humor will appeal to anybody with a sense of humor, no matter where they're from. Work with Bill many times. Good guy. From WTOP, Gilbert Gottfried was joking about getting a role in Disney's Aladdin. He said, it's amazing to think I was actually once in a quality production. I don't know how many times I've seen articles saying Gilbert and Robin got in that sound booth together. That was craziness. During the making of Aladdin, I didn't run into Robin once. Just to be attached to a classic Disney cartoon is pretty amazing. So much of the script was improvised, it was disqualified from Oscar contention, Gilbert said. They let me play around with it. I didn't have to stick to the script. Every now and then they'd stop me and say, this is a family movie? I remember them getting a complaint. There was one part where I said, what the? A woman complained to Disney saying, although he didn't say the whole sentence, we knew what word was coming up. Kathleen Madigan enjoyed the pandemic. She caught up with Monterey County Weekly, your home for comedy news. About the pandemic, Kathleen said, wait, the government's telling me to stay at home and watch Netflix? Nailed it. With little to do but shelter in place and watch Korean baseball on TV, her experience was benign, a glimpse perhaps of retired life. She said, I became a 75-year-old retired guy. Think I'll play a quick nine and then go fishing. And from Dance Hall Magazine, Irish comedian David O'Doherty wants no somber funeral when he dies. In fact, he wants Shaggy's mega hit, It Wasn't Me, played as part of the musical tributes at his funeral service. His desire is to lighten the mood among attendees to his funeral. He said, I think it would be an interesting experiment to play a song that nobody could possibly cry at if they heard it. I think that song is It Wasn't Me by Shaggy. Or as a second choice, I would play the Ireland World Cup song from 1990 when we were pretty good at football. It was called Give It a Lash, Jack, which encouraged Jack Charlton to give it a lash. No one could possibly cry at that. O'Doherty has won many international awards, including the IF Comedy Award in 2008 and Best International Comedian at the 2014 Sydney Comedy Festival. He describes himself as a failed jazz musician scrambling about for something else to do with his life and often combines his comedic performance with tunes played on his miniature electronic keyboard. Can you hear my voice giving out? That's right. It's Sunday. That means I recorded this during the week and I did a couple episodes in a row and the voice can't handle that. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, I guess, Google Podcasts. See you tomorrow.